Hello, this is Dr. Karen Wyatt, and I want to talk to you for a few minutes about what do I mean by spirituality. And I thought my speaking about this might help clear up some confusion that may be out there. The reason I became aware of this confusion is when I wrote the book, What Really Matters, I stated that the book was a spiritual book about seven spiritual lessons that I learned from patients at the end of life. And I really intended that book to be written for people who had not previously had much of a spiritual life, who were possibly beginners on the path of spiritual development. And I believed that those seven lessons would be helpful to people who hadn't grown up with any spiritual training or education in their lives, who would need to learn about some of the basic principles of spirituality and having a spiritual life. But it turns out, as I was writing the book, What Really Matters, I was defining these seven lessons I had learned from dying patients and my work in hospice, and it occurred to me in a kind of a flash of insight one day that those seven lessons correlated perfectly with the seven last words spoken by Jesus when he was dying on the cross. And I was familiar with those words because I grew up in a Lutheran household and had read the Bible as a child, so I was familiar with those words of Jesus on the cross. And suddenly it seemed very profound to me that Jesus, who I view as one of our great spiritual teachers, had spoken these seven statements while he was a dying man, and that they were so similar to the issues and concerns that I saw coming up for the patients I was working with who were also dying. So in the book, I used one statement, each statement of Jesus from the cross as an introduction for each one of the seven lessons to bring home more of a spiritual context for those lessons and to tie it in with the teachings of Jesus, who I consider to be one of our great spiritual teachers. It was very interesting as the book came out and people started reading it. I had one woman write to me and say, you know, I thought this was going to be a Christian book, but then I read a quote from Buddha in your book, and I couldn't keep reading it. I had to put it down because I don't read anything unless it's Bible-based, and so, sorry, but I don't want anything to do with your book because you quoted Buddha. And in fact, I quoted many different spiritual teachers in the book, Rumi, Buddha, Lao Tzu, and others throughout the book. So I viewed my book as having kind of a very broad context of spirituality. But this woman, who was a devout Christian, was offended by the fact that I had included other spiritual teachers other than those accepted by her Christian religion. Well, interestingly enough, at the same time, another woman came to me who was a stated agnostic. She didn't really believe in any religion, didn't care to follow any religion. And she told me that when she came to the Bible verses, the statements from Jesus on the cross, she stopped reading the book because she didn't want to read any book that included anything from the Bible or from Jesus. She had decided in her life never to read anything that had to do with Jesus. Now, what was interesting to me is that the very devout Christian woman and this agnostic woman would view each other as being opposites. They would view each other as being very far apart on different ends of a spectrum in their views and their beliefs. However, from my perspective, they were quite similar because both of them had rejected stories and had rejected reading this book of stories that talked about lots of different spiritual principles because of their own closed-mindedness. Both of them had closed themselves off and decided, I will not read, listen, or involve myself with anything that's outside my little paradigm and how I see the world. So it was fascinating to me that I saw both of those women shutting out my book and being disinterested in reading the book or almost afraid of reading the book because it represented something to them that was outside their own paradigm. And that's when I realized that my view of spirituality and spiritual growth is somewhat treacherous in the world because I could be a target from people on both sides of the spectrum for the way I view life and God and spiritual growth and development. But honestly, I wrote the book with the intention of bridging the gap between all perspectives, of trying to reach out to every perspective and including every perspective in the book. But let me go back up a little bit and just tell you a little bit more about my own spiritual growth and development so that you understand me better. I grew up as a member of the Lutheran Church. My mother and her family were Lutherans, and I went to church every Sunday and Sunday school, and we were very involved in the Lutheran Church all through my childhood. And I absolutely loved church when I was a child. I loved the building itself. I loved the stained glass windows and the high vaulted ceilings with wooden beams in them. And in fact, my grandfather, who was a carpenter, had helped build the church that I attended as a child. So I loved being inside of that church. I loved the liturgy. I loved the fact that we said and sang the same phrases every week. There was this ritual repetition I could count on that would be there every week. I loved the organ music and the choir, and I just took all of it in and thoroughly enjoyed all the rituals involved in going to church when I was young, which may have been somewhat unusual for a child, but that's where I came from. And in fact, when I was quite young, I had had the experience of waking up in the middle of the night and seeing a figure in my room that to me represented an angel. I saw the figure of a woman who was transparent and filled with light, who was standing over my bed and looking down at me with great love. And even as a child, in my mind, that was an angel. And I suddenly knew I have this angel that watches over me and takes care of me. So I grew up always with this sense of safety and this sense of awareness that there's something there that we can't see or touch. There's something there. And that, I would say, was the beginning of my spiritual awareness and my connection with what is divine about us. So that was present at a very young age. At that same time, I loved church and I loved the rituals of church. But when I went away to college, I took lots of fascinating courses. I studied history. I took world religions. I studied the Old Testament and some other Bible courses. And suddenly I found my mind opening to new perspectives and new ideas in a way it hadn't in the past, primarily because I hadn't been exposed to those new ways of thinking before. So it was during college that I began to feel that my old religious beliefs and the religion that had seemed so beautiful and so perfect to me as a child no longer seemed to fit me. And I tried going back to church, but I couldn't fit myself somehow into the church. Somehow there was no longer any congruence between what I believed and what I was experiencing in my own life and what was occurring in the church. So for me, I grew away from religion at that particular time. I grew away from Christianity in the sense that I could no longer limit myself to the teachings that I saw the Christian church putting forward. I suddenly saw myself as a global citizen, a citizen of the whole world and connected to everyone in the world. And I needed a belief system that was even bigger and larger than the religion that I had been brought up with. So I set about, at that time, developing my own spiritual practices and knowledge and learning as much as I could, but without attending any church. And I never have attended any other church or been connected with any other religion during all the rest of the years of my life since that time. So I have been on a spiritual journey of my own for all of my adult life, and taking in all the information I could find, learning as much as I could, being exposed to things, meeting people, connecting with people. But primarily, my spiritual awareness has come from that same sense that I had as a little child of the divine, the energy of the divine that not only surrounds us but permeates us and permeates everything in the universe. And it was as if I saw it and it felt it as a young child, and I never lost that sense. I always knew that that is what God is, and that I am a manifestation of the God energy that is present, as is everything, every living thing, and every molecule and atom of the universe is a manifestation of God, and the God that I could suddenly see as being so large and so vast and so infinite. So that sense of God has been the overriding belief system for me and kind of the driving force behind my own spirituality and spiritual practice. And I will tell you, there was a time when I first decided to leave religion and not be part of an organized religion that I questioned, is this just my ego being lazy and saying, I don't want to be limited. I don't want to discipline myself by the rules of a church and live by rules. Is it my ego being rebellious or lazy? But I came to realize that actually I live a very disciplined life, and I value integrity tremendously and live by it and hold myself to it in every way possible, and not because an external religion or a religious teaching tells me to do it, because I feel the impulse and the guidance within me that propels me to live my life that way and inspires me to live my life that way. So it's not that I didn't want to live by rules, because in a way I have my own spiritual rules for life that I live by for myself. It's simply that I no longer fit into the religion or any other religion with which I became familiar, and I couldn't make it fit any longer. I am aware that there are many people who have reached enlightenment through a religion. So by no means do I mean to imply that everyone who becomes spiritual must reject religion as I did, because I know many people who have adhered strictly to one particular religion and who have become very close to enlightenment through the practices of that religion. I know that that's very possible, and that for some people that's the perfect path and the perfect fit for them to follow religion and stay with one religion and go to the depths and the breadth and the vastness of one religion to help them find their own path toward enlightenment. For me, that's not how the path worked out. But by no means would I judge anyone who has chosen a path of a particular religion as their path towards spiritual growth and spiritual development. So I do see that, as I said, it's possible for religion to be the path of spiritual growth and enlightenment. It's also possible for religion to be one of the stages of spiritual growth that gets left behind, as it was in my case. And there's not a right or wrong way for us to grow spiritually. each one of us has our own issues to struggle with and our own experiences in life that lead us in our own direction. So I believe that it's for each of us to find what works for us, and that primarily we need to stop judging others who have chosen paths different from our own and tend to our own paths. We have plenty to work on in our own lives without getting involved or concerned about the paths other people are choosing. We're far wiser to work on ourselves and our own path and figure out what we're doing here in this lifetime and worry less about the paths that other people are choosing and recognize that actually the desire to grow spiritually comes from within us. And it isn't really that a person outside of us could give us that desire. That desire comes from within and arises within us when we're ready for it and when the timing is right. And so each one of us needs to just tend to our own inspirations and our own guidance and where we are being led on our own path and stop judging the paths of others and allow other people to be on their paths wherever they are, wherever that might be. So to go back once more to my book, What Really Matters, when I quoted from Jesus and Buddha and other spiritual teachers, I was incorporating the wisdom, the vast storehouse of wisdom that is available to us through history, through these incredible teachers who have come to us throughout time. I was incorporating the wisdom that they've offered us that fit with the lessons that I learned from dying patients and that also added depth and richness to those lessons. And so the words of Jesus are part of that depth and richness that I added, and it felt very important to me that those words be included because Jesus was one of the great spiritual teachers of this planet who came here to bring incredible lessons. And it's important that we not lose sight of those teachings and the beauty of the teachings simply because some of us have been uncomfortable with the church that arose around the teachings of Jesus. Some of us have been unhappy and uncomfortable with the direction of that church and some of the teachings of the church, but the church itself is not Jesus. And the words of Jesus represent in a much more pure form what he desired to bring to us and teach to us. And that's why I used those words in my writing and quoted those words in my writing. So I wanted to explain this in hopes that it will help dispel any confusion that might be out there about my spiritual path and my own spiritual beliefs and what I mean by spirituality. And in the blog section on my website, which is KarenWyattMD.com, you can click on the tab for blogs, and under spirituality, the category of spirituality, I've written some blogs. One is it possible to be religious but not spiritual? And that's a very interesting thought because many of us say, these days, I'm spiritual but not religious. And so this blog looks at the fact, is it possible to actually be religious but not be very spiritual? And so that's something interesting to read if you'd like to know a little bit more. And there's another blog on how religion can at times do harm and might actually, how it can help or harm spiritual growth. So it's just some other takes of mine on the idea of religion and spirituality, how they differ and how they're similar. So I hope this little talk of mine has helped clear up any questions. I realize it may have raised more questions than it answered, but I wanted it out there for any of you who are wondering if before you read my book or before you listen to my talks, who might be wondering exactly where I come from. I hope this has been helpful to you. Thanks for listening in. Bye.